broke down.
Yeah.
Was there somebody else in the pen? Like, frozen when you went down to Wegmans, was that
Catherine, living in Fox Chase. I'm, you know, Suzanne and Kevin are near you, right? Off Drescher Road or whatever.
They're probably closer to you.
Yeah, so. Figured.
Oh, okay. No, I know, because there was that guy at one time.
Oh, no, yeah, that guy, right. No, I insulted him. That was easy.
Oh, well, was there someone that showed up and never showed up again?
Well, there was, wow.
It was a fellow from New Jersey who, agreed to meet him down at Wegmans because it was kind of more convenient. And, who knows, you know, people are... Everyone's real thin. Imagine doing this with a thin veneer. I mean, you're just going to get blown out. You can't do it.
It's so easy to decide, oh, that's nothing. We're not talking about it.
That's when the processor light doesn't even blink. It just stays on.
Or you're having a sincere interest in this stuff, and you're excited by it, and... But something comes your way, which invariably is going to come your way, which is going to, you know, give you a good slap. I mean, doesn't life give you a good slap? Once in a while, if not a lot.
That's what the school ministries class was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Spiritual emergency.
Yeah, spiritual emergency.
Status of rock or company.
Sounds like a good rock fall.
Can you guys pass me the cream and sugar?
The real cream?
Oh, good. There's plenty left, I think, there.
Is there other sugar out there?
You good?
No.
You know, we think we've toughed this out, right? But we're all vulnerable. If someone insults you or gets under your skin, or there's a place of loyalty that you're still holding on to, and someone points out to you, like, you know, look at you, look at your mind, look at your personality, you know, you're a mess. You don't want to hear that. Right? Especially if you've built up a meaningful compensatory, right, defense against it. Right? But someone crawls under your skin like a little mouse crawls under the wall, you know? And all of a sudden this thing that you thought you had transcended or, you know, were done with, now you find yourself in a world of justification because someone's wounded you. Right? And that's a great day. I mean, I'm not saying it's fun, but it's a great day when you are confronted by a wall of defensiveness and justification because someone inadvertently or even cruelly, you know, got under your skin. And I mean, I just happen to really be really good at that.
You are a master.
I'm just good at it. You know.
You just give gifts all the way around.
That's
Yeah, peeling off the veneer.
I'm not saying I'm proud of it or that it's, you know, something you do deliberately or, you know, you're on the lookout.
It's just who
you
are.
It's
useful. Well, just in the normal course of repartee, if you're really interested in discovering what this is, if you're playing a veneer, now I'm not saying that's bad or good or anything, but if you're playing a veneer and someone goes, you know, here's a flashlight on your veneer, you're not about to say, dude, thanks. Unless you really mean it. Otherwise, you're going to get defensive and retributional. I mean, we've all had our fair share of that, right?
Unless they're also ready to let go of that veneer.
Well, that's just it.
But they're not quite there yet. They just need that little extra nudge.
My experience was I threw my own veneer on the floor. I don't know if it was when I first started coming here, or even before I started coming here. I had a woman living in our second house. And she blew into my nice act completely out of luck. Because everything ugly came out of it.
Nice.
Wow. And some of it was her. I'd love to blame her completely, but it's not the case. Like, I just couldn't stand myself in her presence. And it was me. It was pretty much my doing.
Pretty much.
Since it was just me. Like, the world will show up to blow your story about who you think you are right out of the water.
Yes.
And it was excruciating.
You want an angel? Here's an angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been hiding that one for a while.
That's it.
Pre-marriage
counseling. We offer lots of free things.
Yeah. ante up. The peppers. I don't see them.
I don't see them. I think they were consumed.
No, peppers consumed.
Yeah, sorry, I did that.
While we're making requests for bread, please.
Ask him for some more. He'll make some more.
Jeff, can I get the eggs there?
Yes. All right, pardon my reach.
No, but if it's not somebody else coming at you to blow your story, it's yourself blowing your own story, and they're both just as painful.
What everything that's appearing in your experience is whose karma? Somebody else's? This is your dream. Not that you fill out, you know, a menu, one from column A, two from column B, plus I'll have the lychee nut and the green tea. It's not like that.
An extra little plate of the peppers and mushrooms. And maybe a little more cheese and jam.
I mean, what's appearing right now to you is whose experience? Mine?
It couldn't be anybody else's because I can't really always even see it through.
It can't be anybody else's experience.
It goes through my filter by the
time. Yeah. If a challenging human being is interfacing with you somehow, professionally, as a customer, as a vendor, as a family member, right? As a government agent, and you're tweaked by anger, by rudeness, by fear, by retributional, then whose experience is that?
It's my fault.
It's occurring in your experience. You may, or consciousness may, interpret it as your problem. Or it could be occurring in your experience and it's not your problem. Yeah, it's not your problem. It's like, oh, I'm surrounded by hungry ghosts, you know. It must be my Saturn return.
You can laugh at it or you can cry.
Or watch it simply dissolve.
God, it never stays anyway.
It can't.
How can I think I have such a problem when they just never even stay around?
Because it's, you could say it's, can we use the word fun? To have a problem. Even a serious problem.
It is entertaining.
The biochemistry of drama can reinforce something, even if it's, or particularly if it's undesirable.
Find me a life form, mammalian, reptilian, micro or macrocosmic that's not in a major fucking quarrel.
I might
that's
even
not
have
major
a
fucking quarrel.
Choice. Like, I went to sleep.
Quarrel.
I closed my eyes last night, and I was immersed instantaneously in a bizarre quarrel that I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I woke up, like, five or ten minutes later, sweating.
Yep.
And I'm, like, in a cold sweat. Like,
yeah.
Wow. What choice do I have? Oh, because I closed my eyes?
Yeah. Right.
It was like...
Right. Yeah, because I decided on peace.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I was going to sleep.
Challenge shows up every time you just decide.
I was just, there was no challenge. It was just random shit. I didn't know it. I didn't have any, you know. Thank you very much.
Biologic resonance, which is your experience, functions on tension. Water, a single water drop, has so much adhesion tension on its molecular surface, it's not funny.
That's what makes it a water.
Exactly.
Wow. We're just friggin' water. I wonder what the pressure.
Yeah. I mean, the body is made up of 86 or more percent salt water. You're mostly, right, fluid. Mostly fluid. With a very curious, self-healing, soft, sensuous, some delightful veneer. And all of you, cellular and otherwise, is operating in profound, right, tension relationship, tension and release relationship. Molecularly, cellularly, rebuilding, breaking down, getting rid of, you know, metabolic waste, grabbing its fair share of nutriments, nudging the next gal or guy. Oh, so we imagine that in our emotional life, we should be sanguine, like a Buddhist? I mean, it's a heresy.
Is that why you picked that name for your first pseudo Church of the Sanguine?
Yeah. That's right.
Cream, please. And a sugar, please.
Cream and a sugar? No, I'll give you plenty of the sugar. There's a little bit of cream. Is there any sugar in there? You want the real thing, right?
Yeah.
I think there is some sugar.
Yeah, there's a couple of real ones in there.
There's some in there.
Only one's one.
There's two.
Well, there's like three in here.
Yeah, whatever happened to the cubes?
Yeah.
You can still
whatever happened to the cubes?
I thought.
Yeah. I think Owsley bought them all up.
Where would they go that way?
Every time you see sugar cubes now, you know it's nice.
The very simple to observe. Call it conundrum, is that what we call mind, even though there is no thing that you can find as in mind. You can't find mind, but you could say, influenced by the presence of association. The presence of abstract association appearing in your experience is mind. It's not a place. It's not a box. It's not something you can pull out of a body and do anything with.
When you say abstract association, you mean I assume that this wall means and this wall up here means.
You are absolutely mostly unconscious of all the meaning that you are imposing on this present experience.
All the meaning. Abstract association is all the meaning we impose.
That's mind.
Wow.
That's it. Isn't it the case? What else is appearing in mind but abstract association?
That's
nothing.
All there is.
That's all there is.
And
when
we
bingo. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah. So here's this present experience. No one can say what it is or isn't, even though there are volumes. Right, within the short-lived span of human life that tell you what this is or isn't. But what is all that? What is the entire Akashic record? It's just abstract association.
We can't know that it's real.
No, what's real is what's real. But that's that. You can't say what's real. Unless you enter into the slippery slope of abstract association, which is mind. And then you're just telling a lie. Reality is... Hello! Ho! Here we are. But you take a next step, you are in abstract association. And abstract association is what we refer to as mind. So mind is not a thing. Mind is not an object. Mind is not a subject. It's just abstract association appearing mellifluously, uncompromisingly, spontaneously, impersonally, effortlessly in your experience.
But it seems to have absolute registration in mind. If a tiger walked down here barefoot and growled at me, I would feel it as a joke.
It's still the same. Just even though it can and is profoundly somaticized, it's still abstract association. Let's say a body, whatever that is, goes into a response over the appearance of a celebrity, a rock star, a new guitar, or a tiger, a hungry tiger. What's occurring? Experience. Abstract association in your experience.
Yeah, I had the same thing over the dream, but I don't even know if that was, you can't say what.
Oh, yeah. The dream, that's a really good example, because that's just a mind-created thing. I mean, that's not real, and yet it had that same...
What makes you think that a dream is a clear indication of what we're referring to, and this is less so?
Yeah.
Well, there's, it just seems like there's some consistency.
Exactly. I know. It's like... That happens to be the case.
In my dream, too.
So we get all excited about what appears in mind as a flow or an apparitional appearance of abstract association. That's the story that's told. Those are the commitments that are made. That's also referred to as belief or memory or impulse or justification or explanation. They're all of those things are of the same exact nature, which is the presence of abstract association appearing in your experience.
And it's not like it wants anything.
No.
But it seems to, it just seems to be our MO to just operate without ever questioning that those associations are real or not.
That's right. We do not question, typically, we do not question that apparitional or abstract association appearing in your experience is real or not.
We don't pay any attention to it.
Until it
like the
appears.
Mechanism of what's actually going on.
True. Until it appears not to be going our way.
Even then, I don't think we just bitch about it. I don't know that
that's
I
right.
really
even if you're
attention.
Suffering if you're suffering or enjoying the imaginary consequences of abstract association, you're still not really paying any attention to the geometry of what's occurring.
You're not questioning.
That's right.
That it's occurring.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by the geometry of what's occurring?
The mechanism. The what you can see is the unafflicted plenum of awareness itself in which abstract association is occurring, or to which, or as which abstract association is occurring. That's the geometry, the mechanism of seeing how you build a story and a miraculous belief system over the way you occupy your life.
Okay.
For instance, wow, it's not like me just to pick up on a dare and throw the dog in a car and drive to Florida to get some warm weather. So what's that? I don't know. That's just, you know, how you see yourself, how you feel yourself. How you express yourself in the company of friends. But what is it? It's nothing. Now, your present experience is absolutely silent. Unutterably silent. Right now, concomitant with the machinery of abstract association.
So it's not like you get rid of that association. You just simply notice the silence that's...
Who knows? Find out. It's impossible to say because neither one of those things are true. You see? You just have to... Because this is reality. It has to show itself to itself, you know, where you sit. To say what it does or what it doesn't do or what you should or shouldn't do is all crazy making. That's why people go see Adya Shanti or they go see Byron Katie or they go see whomever. Because they think that if they go see so-and-so that they're going to be told something about this, something reliable about this, and what they might do about it so that they can improve the heresy of abstract association occurring in their experience. Which is all bullshit. Even
like
if you go see
like
Nurse Sagadatta.
You know... How last night when I closed my eyes, because I have prevented whatever the fuck I saw, it wasn't particularly enjoyable in this weird, you know,
right.
our abstract experience. Anybody
mm-hmm.
have some advice? I mean, should I have not eaten beef?
Right.
Should I have...
You mean for how you should remedy your past?
No, I mean... No, yeah, I was using it as a metaphor
right
now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's what we always do. I go to a therapist, whether Freudian, Jungian... Cadian, right? And yep. say, you got to help me because my past sucks.
Yeah, something that just happened. That already happened sucks.
Isn't it true? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Please help me. My past really sucks. Okay. Well, why don't you write me a check and we'll talk about it.
This form.
My past has been so bad. Can you help me with it? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, just give me your plastic, we'll swipe it, and we'll go to the next step. I'll give you a pencil and a piece of paper, and you can write down the way that your past sucks and call it a JYN.
Yeah, it's always
a thing that happens. Oh. Yeah. So you don't need a remedy for what's present, because you don't know what's present. Well, so why imagine that it's not going your way so that you have to have a remedy for it? The only thing that is apparently incarcerating you is abstract association appearing in your experience. That's it. Do you need a remedy for now? Even if you've just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, even if you just lost your house, even if you just lost someone or everyone dear to you, and your emotional body is absolutely ripped to shreds, never to be the same, I get that. Do you need a remedy? Thorazine would help. Thorazine always helps.
Fortunately, that's not available at the counter. So.
Most would say relief under what you just described.
Of course.
Some type of relief.
Of course. And so abstract association appearing in your experience, which is the same as the emotional body, the causal body, the spiritual body, the rainbow body, the this body and the that body, can really suck, can it? I mean, super duper suck. SDS. But you can't do anything about it, even when it's occurring. You can't do anything about it, even though you can get Thorazine or morphine, depending on how close to, right, muert you are. You certainly can't go to a therapist or a guru and say, hey, work my past out for me. And it's only through belief, you could say, loyalty to abstract association that makes us appear as if we're suffering now or we're likely to suffer in the future. Right?
It's the pattern recognition of it, you know? It seems like, and here it is again, all over.
Here you are again, all over again. That's right. Oh my God, it's me.
Here I go down the same old path.
That's right.
So, I want to throw something out there, and feel free, Jeff, to criticize this concept. But what happens if you say, do some kind of prayer type thing and say, okay, I'm having this thought about this situation, the person, and, it seems to be a recurring one. It's really getting on my nerves. And I want to have some kind of explanation that I can, a prayer. Please help me not come to terms with this or something like that.
Sure.
Okay?
Right.
And then
it
seemingly,
works.
Out of the blue,
yeah.
Something occurs to you that helps alleviate or ameliorate.
Alleviate and ameliorate, right.
Yeah. Crazy thought. Well, yeah.
I'm down with it. Alleviate. Commit yourself entirely. Everyone should, starting now if you haven't already, commit yourself entirely to alleviation and remediation. Do it today.
Just don't believe it works or that it actually has anything to do with what happens in the future.
Don't even disqualify it. Just commit yourself to it. Do it.
We do anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
What we do, that's the human thing.
Yeah, that's right.
We
try best as we can to commit ourselves to alleviation and remediation of the crazy thoughts that, drive us to discomfort, disquietude.
It's probably what drove us here.
Most likely it's what drove us all here. So yeah, go for it. Spin it up. Work it. You are the magician of your life. You're the master magician of what's appearing in your experience. There's no question about that. So participate in any and every ritual, affection, prayer, purification that you find enjoyable. And enjoy the consequences of it, whether it works or doesn't work. No problem. I mean, we're not suggesting that anyone should adopt some kind of behavior modification as a consequence of having this bizarre conversation. Why bother? Be yourself. There's nothing to do or not do that's any better than what you've done or not done to this point.
even if the yourself is a false self.
Knock yourself out.
It doesn't really matter. So
it doesn't matter. Knock the self out.
Be open to whatever yourself might actually be.
At this time.
Yeah, you see, seeing, which is another word for inquiring into the geometry of consciousness itself, is not a behavioral, necessarily a behavioral, has behavioral benefit. You do it because you're called to it. You've been invited. When Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of a Third Kind was building a giant mud factory in his living room and then pulled the top off out of frustration and saw that Devil's Tower on the TV was the same as the Devil's Tower that he had just created in his living room, he was invited. He knew then he had to go there to have an encounter with the extraterrestrials upon whose ship he entered. Right? Voluntarily.
It wasn't a thought process.
No, it wasn't. And just like being at whatever this breakfast is or isn't, you've been invited. Fuck you.
Such a warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. I mean, we're not here to, adore your personality or to insult your personality. Right? But you could say, along the path of looking deeply at the nature of this, including yourself, yeah, you're going to get offended.
Yeah. Well, I find a lot of times I just fall in love with people.
That's that.
You get offended, but you can also just totally fall in love with people.
Mm-hmm. Let's say there's only two kinds of people. Of course, there's not. But one impulse that we have is attention seeking, right? We're entertainers. We attention seek through entertainment, through funny stories, through anecdotes, through bearing ourselves, right, in a certain way that people become, right, that too, that people are, you know, interested in talking with us, right? Then the other ones are what? You know, what? Attention givers. So sometimes you're an attention giver, sometimes you're an attention seeker. And we build fantastic personalities around this dipole, right? Process, this tension process. Just like we were talking about, a water molecule has adhesion. Every cell in your body has a certain kind of adhesion, tension pattern to hold this apparently together. So does, right, the gift of being in relationship with others or yourself have an attention-seeking and an attention-offering kind of dipole.
But it's not firm. It floats all over the place.
That's right.
Man, I can be with some people, I'm one kind of guy, and with other people, I'm a totally different person.
Of course you are. I mean, you're getting along in a microbial universe as a human, just like every microbe in your body is getting along in situ. Yeah, I mean, you got to put on a face depending on who you're with. If you go into enemy territory so you can get yourself some coca leaves, well, you try to dress like those people. When you get the coca leaves and go back to your tribe, you better change your clothes. Right? Otherwise, someone's going to take a shot at you. Or tie you up and eat you limb by limb. And so we're always going in search of, right, food and sustenance and Christmas presents, whatever we're going in search of. And, you know, we do figure out whether there's any threat or thing going on, and we cloak.
Well, I have to say, it seems, I seem to exist better, if that makes any sense. It doesn't. Okay. I'll just, when I am less concerned about offending people, than when I am concerned about offending people and change my behavior about them. So I look for opportunities to not to be offensive, but just to say what I want without worrying about it.
Right. Yeah, I would. I mean, that makes sense. Go where you're welcome. Quarrel.
Or just put it out there. Let all the things fall with it.
So if self-realization is anything, and I hope it's not, it would be a real bummer if it turned out to be something.
Yeah. You
This is strange.
Because, you know, then you'd be, you know, forced to create a platform. So let's hope that if self-realization is so, or what we imply by it is so, that it's, I pray that it's nothing at all.
Because if it's something, it implies there actually is something. There is a self that, by definition, these problems are real.
Are you is experiencing, because you is already too complicated, is the presence of experiencing what you are? Or is whatever experiencing is occurring in what you are? And they don't have to be mutually exclusive. That's up to you.
He's inviting identification with this or that, or both, or neither.
Okay. No,
you know,
I
the
see.
Jar and the toothpaste.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Do you identify with the apparitional nature of experiencing,
right,
as an individuated body mind, or might you be what experiencing is occurring in?
Okay.
And good luck saying what that is. We can move this table. I'm going to move the table.
I was thinking of that too.
Dave's going to do it. I'll do it.
It could shift down.
I'm just going to throw it out. I'm going to put it outside.
No, there's plenty of room to
move that. You
could
turn it the other direction.
What needs to do is just go down.
Move it backwards. That's it.
Well, then
it
will
be
perfect.
It's such a good idea.
Oh, there's a solution.
Redecker.
Redecker. That's going to stay with it, I'm sure.
People were having to squeeze.
Too little.
Maybe a little more decaf.
Decaf
here.
Some decaf.
Well, he's bringing the coffee out.
Tea.
What this is so. I mean, we're using words. We could go, which is another, you know, way of saying this is so, right? Or Bonnie, there's a saber-toothed tiger. Don't leave the cave. This is so. What of it? Your life, the way that you create your life as a continuity of things owned, things believed, things to do, things done, things suffered, things enjoyed, is imagination. It's just imagination.
And that same imagination could trap us in the idea that what we imagined was better then or there will be better when I get there.
A bunch of people like to have, you know,
again.
Okay, I'll bring the dog.
That's one of a thousand things it can do.
Yeah. Again, not here, somewhere else.
Well, somewhere else is imagined.
Right.
Not here is imagined.
Right.
Here is imagined.
That's what I mean. That's what can happen. Dissatisfaction of this.
Yes. The word particularization can be used skillfully in this context. Sorry.
Another tea bag?
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Catherine, are you good with this?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Oh, done. Because there's only one
with that. I actually have more.
Can this be injected as well?
Wouldn't taste nearly as good.
You probably just get it and suck it through a straw.
Not, now you're talking. No. You open my nostrils right up.
I didn't know that or talk about stomach. Had any of that.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Just straight up. Yeah, right. Why dilute it with coffee?
I know, it's
delicious.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, biddly-biddly-ba. You can see that your life, what you imagine as your life, prior to this moment, in this moment, were you to have a future moment, is imagined. So if your identity, which is not yours to begin with, appears to be associated with physicality, with temporality, with spatiality, with abstract presentation, representation, with particularization, then it can look like you exist as an independent entity dwelling in as in a corporeal sheath, and you're hunting for cocoa leaves wearing the right garb nonstop. That can get pretty goddamn dull. That's why you're at this table. Because you have seen that being a poser in search of cocoa leaves is dull.
But are you a poser if you find the cocoa leaves? And you go,
then you're not concerned.
Exactly. You're the champ.
That you could say is one of the, let's say, seductive elements of consciousness keeping itself right where you are, because you can hunt for, you can find, you can ingest, and then you can be like, who was our dear friend, winning?
Charlie Sheen.
Then you can end up like Charlie Sheen, completely blotto on cocoa leaves, going winning, you know, with his like tight face. And that's what consciousness does. You, as long as you think you're winning, you will go and hunt of another cachet of cocoa leaves.
Or bergamot.
Or bergamot. Or
eggnog.
Eggnog. So in a sense, it's a major re-education, just speaking psycho-emotionally, psychiatrically, it's a major re-education to see that joy, which is what you're really interested in, happiness for self is what you're really interested in, can occur, but not as long as you're in search of cocoa leaves.
Well, you know, I was thinking about, you know, a little kid, and I must have seen the clip or something somewhere, but it certainly rings true, who just discovers, like, for example, using a pencil as a spaceship.
Spaceship, yeah.
You know, but somehow there's this joy of the association.
Oh, absolutely.
Just, like, getting into, like, the whole representative thing. In the pretending of
imagination is a drug.
Now, maybe if it's not goal-oriented, as soon as it sort of sends a firm up into a direction, there's the problem. But the actual association...
It can turn on you, like any drug.
Yeah, but the actual association seems to be joy.
Yes, this is joy. Right now. I mean, spilling over.
So
painful.
It's not necessarily the association, but there's some other aspect to it. It's the, I don't know, false sense of authorship.
Yeah, you can go Wayne Lickerman on this, if it feels right.
Look it up, baby.
Why not? Yeah, give Wayne a call and say, hey, thanks.
Use your lingo today.
Yes. False sense of authorship can be at multiple levels, right? The way that Wayne usually refers to it, not that I can speak for him, but the way I hear him, he's usually using it as a thy will be done level of play. He does not get in his language or teaching, through my observations, into a more profound sublimity of what this is or isn't. Peter Brown does, Wayne Lickerman does not. Wayne Lickerman stays at the relative behavioral when he refers to false sense of authorship. Yeah. Wayne doesn't go to the quark. He's actually quite a materialist and teaches that way. and opines on other people's, call it understanding, as being correct or incorrect understanding. Yeah, because he's a materialist.
Deep down,
he's a very intelligent guy, but he's very small-minded.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Hederman, you know, in his approach, is also somewhat of a materialist. Though, I mean, in that one talk that I'd listened to, he'd gone completely off the rails. And I was, you know, for me, it was like excited because I couldn't follow a thing he was saying. And he was just, you know, whoop, zipping and zooping right the hell out of there. And I'm sure, I would imagine, if I'd been a regular, call it, you know, devotee of Paul's, from a 12-step, you know, background, I would have been a little upset.
That's great.
For me, that was like, yeah, baby, you know, kill it.
He might actually, I don't know if he's, to this guy I know, he does meetings.
You on pause?
Nice guy, sorry.
Hey,
he's
boss.
A really nice guy. Like
it's better to pass up your sentence.
I'd like to have your attention right now, but I really got to yawn. I'm back.
Saturday
night.
Oh, yeah. I'm really not fit to be here.
Yeah, but you come anyway. You're insane.
So this dude that he runs meetings and he's sort of a self-professed. But anyway, he's a nice guy in some ways. But anyway, he runs these meetings. There's like a whole controversy around that, but he runs these meetings and so I happened to see him the other night and he said, oh, you have to come to this particular meeting on a Saturday night for 2 weeks with Paul. And I swear he said Paul interested in me. And I thought, like, I only was like, yeah, paying attention to him. So then later I thought, did he mean Paul Hederman? Because if he did, I'll be like the first, you know, and like I'll be there.
No, you won't, because Paul Hederman was just here a couple months ago and you weren't there.
I am.
That's why he doesn't want to miss
Don't
this
lie
time.
To us. We're fucking groupies. Don't lie to us.
We were there.
He was front row. Did you guys actually see him?
I drove through the rain all the way to Bala Cynwyd to go have dinner with him at someone's house.
Really?
Yeah. No, I had to invite myself.
Really bad. The normal non-groupie folks just drove in the rain.
Yeah.
I flew to Taos, New Mexico, just so I could have dinner with Peter and interrupt his vacation. Hi.
I'm here.
Right. For dinner. No, just passing through.
So you think a lot of what Paul says is like
Got merit. Sure. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Well, maybe
he's merit. He's merit. Paul is meritorious to the bone.
From Philadelphia College.
We said maybe we need to go to California.
Meritorious
we
to the bone.
Me and the dog and you in the car driving.
Let's leave today.
We're not driving.
That was based on a conversation the other Friday night.
Okay.
I can't seem to get up the guts to throw Rummy in the car and drive to Florida.
You said you were bothering that last year.
I know.
Is this blue?
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah, just a piece of bread. Throw me one.
Chippies.
The potatoes here?
Yeah.
There you go. Knock that bowl out.
3-year-old man. Chippies.
I love them.
I'll admit it,
so did you just take more than you could eat? Is that what happened here? I don't know. Where were we? Were we anywhere? Was there a thread here? Sure.
I didn't mean to lead us into the... You know, I mentioned false sense of
life. Oh, my God. You talked about Wayne Lickerman and it went to shit. The whole thing went to shit. That's not your fault. That's my fault.
I'm trying to identify what it is. It's not just the association.
A little resentment on Wayne there.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know,
No, it's fun.
Some of those guys are
because you're of a sufficient miraculous nature to review your miraculous nature miraculously, and that is way different than FSA, isn't it?
For some.
False sense of authorship.
Yeah, it's a new division in our government.
You are of a presently miraculous nature. To review your miraculous nature miraculously. That's way different than any accusation, any explanation, any causative factor that you can ascribe to this.
I just have this. I think of it in terms of gelling, solidifying, you know, it's like making something out of it.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite.
Deconstructing it.
No, I mean,
but that's what I mean. I mean, that jolted into a sock of power.
That's right.
Well, lately I've had a sense of all this solidifying and starting to crack and dust blowing away.
Nice.
It's like having this conversation for the past 4 years. It starts to make holes in your brain. It's like it just kind of seeps in.
African American girl.
And then eventually we turn around and just start to crack.
She's never seen a lot of things.
We could argue that present experience is gooey. You're gooey. There's nothing solid here. There's nothing solid that could even crack. Because the entire time it's just been very gooey, and gooiness is its own solvent.
Sure.
Your miraculous capacity to observe the miraculous creationism of what is occurring in your experience right now can be seen both as gooey-like affliction, gooey-like belief, and that observation is its own solvent.
Like salt on a slug.
Yeah. And that's this. Not something you have to attain to. Not something that needs to congeal in your experience. But it is what I've just referred to, you know, ridiculously, foolishly, is what this is right now. It looks like it's gooey, which means it can go into some kind of memory pattern or solid or justification or what ifs and so and so's and my past suffered and so I want to fix it. So that's the gooey part. But as you simply, like right now, take it in, that's the solvent. The looking is the solvent. Not looking at the myth that's appearing in your present experience is gooey, gone, corporeal.
You know, since we're physicalizing this idea, you know, have you ever played around with cornstarch, mix of cornstarch and water, and you
Not at the cranial sacrum.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah, there
where
you go.
Jeff passed around a bowl.
So you're telling me to do a thing that I showed you?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Kaiser showed this to me.
Yeah, he's claiming
like
he knew it before.
30 years ago.
No, yeah.
But yeah. But I mean, it's so like that, isn't it? You know,
put a cord around the top.
If you have tarsus, it stops. Do you remember that?
Oh.
I think so. Because of the viscosity of it.
The viscosity of it is such that it stops anything that acts too aggressive. You can just swirl around it.
Sure.
Okay. I should have referred to that. That time and place. Excuse
me. Well, excuse me.
That's where we have to get our credits from the right place. Authorship, proper authorship.
Now, what's possible is that as we play around with these observations, you don't come away with a thing that you are, a thing to do, a thing not to do, because those would be accoutrements of a ghost.
Of a gooey mess.
Of a gooey mess. Yeah. Because presently, as in right now, were there any now? Who knows what this is? What? Tell me, what is this? What do you got going on? You've already been dissolved. feeling it is key. Because if you're feeling it, one could say you're not feeling this through the five senses. You're not feeling this through body, mind, brain, pituitary, thymus, as an intermediary. See? The feeling of this happens to be this. And that you have or don't have a body is not meaningful. I mean, how free do you want to be? Do you want to just be free of the stuff that kind of bothers you? Or, I mean, you know, how many sub-basements are you prepared to go to? Or penthouse? Where do you want to go? Fourth floor, lingerie, ladies' cafe. I'm good. Fifth floor, nothing at all. No merchandise and no cash registers.
What's the John Malkovich floor, remember?
Oh, yeah, 7.5.
7.5 floor.
Low overhead.
Yeah, low overhead.
Yeah, but there's something that I observe is imprinting. Like the little duck that follows a squirrel would act like a squirrel. And it's kind of weird that way. So here we are born into an environment.
He's going a different way.
I mean, I know that doesn't quite totally work.
That was just my own private showing.
But but you know what I'm saying, in the sense of that fluidity, it proves itself in a sense very early on that we're not necessarily even fixed in species if we imprint on whatever pattern happens to be there, which means. That's not even the case, is what you're getting at. The fifth floor, nothing there.
Just imagine if Hunter S. Thompson was the first person you met. Wow.
I wish he had been.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, right.
Yet it can't be denied that a certain utility emerges from the capacity, the physicality that shows up, and using that capacity to.
What does that have to do with
it? Well, we show up and we eat.
Okay, yeah, but what does that have to do with what he was saying?
Well, the fifth floor has nothing on it. I'm saying there's always something.
There's always something.
That's what I'm saying. That there's always something, and that always something really comes from imprinting that gets us out of bed. Gets us to the food to eat. It gets us to where we want to relieve. It gets us to go play. Gets us to show up and listen to stuff to undo it.
Well, sure. Okay. So there's an impulse factor in all of phenomenality.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well said.
I'll yield to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Appears to be. Yeah. You know. Otherwise, how would you know thirst?
Yeah.
How would you have constructed a vessel? You know, out of clay. And found a live water source to tap, so that
saying you're not a body is not the same thing as saying you don't have a body. It's just saying that you're not, you know, necessarily associated with that as being a whole being. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a body that still eats and does shit.
But if there's something that's so non-corporeal, how can you say it has anything? You know. Has sort of denotes that there is a.
Well, I didn't say has or not. It's well, just saying either
the dilemma. Yes. Yeah. Having a body, not having a body, being with or without a body.
It doesn't mean it totally just vanishes in the air or something. Or no. Yeah. Could. Who knows? But
nothing means anything.
Yeah.
It can't. Nothing can mean anything. What is it? What is it that has a body or doesn't have a body? If you find yourself identified with circumstances and events as a durable corporeal being that has to clean the garage tomorrow, knock yourself out. If you take that same set of circumstances and, let's say, pierce the veil of the apparitional nature of experiencing and see that you actually have no identity whatsoever, knock yourself out. You better still clean the fucking garage.
I was going to say, that's not going to sit around for
or not. I mean, you know, yogis, men and women, end up with, you know, not that much clothing on, hanging out in around cemeteries to pick up whatever fruit someone may have left behind. I don't know.
They're happier than we are.
Could be. But there's no reason to celebrate, you know, a gyani in a cave any more than someone that serves you a glass of wine. Or the wine itself. Unless you're into that. Then do that. Right? You're going to do what you do. You might throw the dog in the car and hit the gas, or you may think about it for the next few weeks, and by the time you're ready to do it, it'll be spring.
Build the weather to change to your desire.
What are we in search of something? What are we in search of? Something other than this? That feels differently than this? Looks better than this? Pulls my skin back? What am I in search of? Lost youth? Less weight? More conjugal opportunities? And the presence of any of those is fantastic. But we're not negotiating with what appears in humanity, the bacterial, right? The slithering bacterial overgrowth called humans.
I feel like a piece of what you said that just resonated with something I observe a lot is like we're interested in getting rid of issues, but they're like very specific. Like, well, I still want to be a person with a lot of demand, like a lot of preferences and demands and whatever, but I want it to be a certain way. And it's like really specific, like ridiculous, right? Like, I want to have a good job, and I want it to look like this, and I have to get paid a good amount. It's like so specific.
It can be.
It's retarded.
And then once that, let's say any of that occurs,
we just create a new set.
You will find a brand new, instantaneously appearing new set of likes and dislikes within whatever environment you place yourself. All of which is just...
So it's a never-ending, bizarre...
Abstract hallucination... Abstract representation appearing in your experience. Show me the end.
But if you suggest to drop it all, it's like...
No. Drop what?
No. Like...
There's no...
The,
there's, no,
well,
there's
not
no...
Not dropping it,
right.
But not, you know,
no dropping.
Particularly invested in it, I guess.
Well, even that's not possible. Because if yeah. One finds themselves invested in apparitional, seducing apparitional mayhem... Then you're going to look for remedies. You're going to go to the meetings. You're going to try to up your game because you're miserable.
Oh, to de-invest. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what word? I don't know what word to use.
Yeah, it's not possible. Yeah, that's the problem with this, which is also the glory of it. It's not possible to do anything about this. Right? To be invested or disinvested means nothing.
Well, then what were you... Not invested, but what was your whole going down the layers thing? You were just
well, the question then was, if we're talking about, you know, what floor you want to get off on, was how free do you want to be?
Well, that's what I mean. Not invested, but it seems like it's only like, I don't want to be in pain, but I want, you know, these certain specific things. But
sure.
They're not really willing to go down to the level of, like,
yes.
Not being a human is like, no.
Very few yoga studios or meditation huts dare speak about something that's transhuman, that's trans-afflictive.
See, I don't know how to say that it's true, because if you say investment, it assumes there's still a person there with an investment. That's very obviously not what you're saying. That's a hard thing to frame in terms of
art. Well, sure, this is impossible.
Yeah.
Whatever this is or isn't is absolutely impossible. And yet, oh boy, here it is.
In other words, we can't help being invested to some degree or another, but we can help the degree that we take it seriously.
No, no, because if you find yourself living a little lighter and not engaging or obsessing with yourself or people, that's just a gift of magic, right? That's your magical nature showing you, hey, Dave, chill out. And you're like, okay, nice, thanks for the view. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. You notice that it was, let's say, happening as you contrasted present experience with prior experience. So you're enjoying looking into the liquid nature of Dave. But it's not like...
Not as Dave, though.
Well...
Well, I mean, whatever. I don't know how to say...
It's so-called Dave. Let's put it that way.
For now on, everyone will be so-called Nan. So-called Catherine. So-called Beth. You can't... Don't use anyone's name without saying so-called as the... preamble.
Or we could just assume they're all
pseudonyms. Hey, so-called Lisa, so good to see you.
All pseudonyms.
The entity formerly known as Lisa.
The artist formerly known. The entity formerly known as.
I've been to a retreat before where it was, suggested that you refer to you in how you refer to yourself in your head, like, well, she thinks she wants a cup of coffee.
Yes.
That's fun. She's sure of it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I've always
like
thought
that. And at the end of that retreat,
yeah,
it was like, there was some distance.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember sitting down with a group of people and trying to put it out there, and they just trounced all over it. They didn't get it.
You mean
it's,
later?
No, it's a little tricky.
Back in real life, right?
Yeah.
Back in real life.
Back in real life. Well, it's like Tom Hanks and Wilson.
Yeah, that's right. And Wilson's a doll. He's cast away.
Yeah, I don't
cast
think
away.
I ever saw that.
No people, no human beings for months. Yeah.
I mean, what your psychiatry is capable of doing is absolutely off the charts, and we don't experiment that much with it.
What
just
was
don't.
That, Dan, that you said? Just go through your life for a while, and instead of, well, I want a cup of coffee, or, well, I really am worried about this, she thinks she wants a cup of coffee. She thinks she's really worried about this.
You just third
wow, person. She's... Like, start to get a little distance between the reference to yourself as a self and, well, she. Like,
I really like that.
That's what I meant by not taking it seriously. Like, yeah.
She really likes
it. Yeah. 5 days up in a place in Vermont with a group of people, no telephone, no electric, and uses it. It's like coming off that mountain. So, you know.
She would like to try the chunky monkey. Who? Is somebody with you? Right. She would like some wet nuts with the chunky monkey. Who are you buying this for?
And then you can order two. Because you're like, no, that one's
right.
For her.
That one's for her.
I want you
I mean,
to
after
see
a,
her. She wants chunky monkey.
After a retreat in Vermont, where else do you go but to Ben and Jerry's, right?
She was at Ben and Jerry's with him one time.
Yes, she was.
And had an incident in the restroom and came out and was so utterly taken over by laughter she couldn't speak for 15 minutes.
Sweet.
She was beginning to make a scene. It was so freaking funny.
Sweet.
And to this day, I can still... She can still find laughter bubbling up when she reviews that particular...
The incident in the restroom.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It does sound.
The funniest thing that's ever happened in my life.
I will
and
go tell us.
Line,
you sure you want to pull on that string?
Well, she wants to.
Season's already started.
Yeah. Really?
She's curious, too.
Flashback.
Dave might have to answer.
Excuse me.
Come on. Write it down.
Satsang with Nan.
It's always entertaining.
So you can see just conversationally how we return to some form of representation when negotiating with present experience.
So it seems.
I mean, it's in a way, it's almost seems like the only way to be able to communicate it.
It's a way. Right, but
well, adds spice to it or something. Or adds the some stuff to it. It's the fiber.
Yeah. Nothing's good or bad or right or wrong or advantageous or disadvantageous. Even though Barbara Walters is interviewing one of the Koch brothers, or has. And that'll be broadcast as one of the five most remarkable people. She's like an Illuminati witch interviewing a Koch brother, making him look like a financially conservative philanthropic man.
Oh, I love that.
Instead of an absolute demon from hell.
Yeah. They care about people.
Yeah. So, you know, it gets wild, right? It gets crazy.
So that's just a bigger version of what we do when we make things up.
Yeah, that's right. It's demonstrative.
And multiply is somewhat. Yet same in its kind of folly of sorts.
Whatever is appearing in consciousness can't be other than folly. You can appear to be an enjoyer of the folly, or a sufferer of the folly, a victim of the folly, a perpetrator of the folly, a cadaver of the folly, a homicider of the folly.
Could be a sequel to WALL-E.
The folly is a sequel to WALL-E.
That's my mind playing. You know,
that's useful folly sleeping is what that is.
Put that in your shoe and beat it.
Put that in
your
shoe and beat it?
No, you put an egg in your shoe and beat it.
Make like a tree and leave.
Put that in your hat and wear it?
No, it's
put
like,
that in your pipe and smoke.
There it is.
That
pick,
one
pick
I know.
Pick it up your ass and fuck off.
Put that in your shoe and beat it.
Make like a pee and split.
That's right, it's getting someone to leave, right? That's it.
Yes?
Well, I want to make sure I take a look.
That is a very pretty
note. Catherine, I'm a little worried.
You don't like my new hobby?
She's a little worried.
You don't like my new hobby?
I bring liquor to everywhere I go.
She's I like it. I think you should bring liquor to every event we have.
Oh, yeah, really?
It's always talk about liquor.
It's great.
Oh, so that was your contribution.
You can say that.
Either that or you're collecting Andres.
Of all times for me to not have coffee.
You could have put it in your tea.
That is so hard to remedy. I
bad
know.
Timing.
God forbid you could order a coffee.
I almost drank out of it.
Give me the teapot.
You taking that too?
That's a nice teapot.
Shall I peel off the price sticker?
Sustained interest in the present quality of experiencing is no easy task. Because we get whipped up by the glee of entertainment.
But it isn't even really a task. I mean, I kind of get it. It's not something you can make. You can't, like, all right, I'm going to just, now I'm going to have sustained interest in something other than the
yes.
story of what's what. That doesn't work.
That's impossible.
But can you avoid?
I mean, if you spend 30 years on a meditation cushion, maybe you got 10 good minutes. You have to decide whether they were worth it.
But if it visits,
no. Well, we're very adroit with deflecting and deferring, so as to, in a sense, ignore presence and its revelatory nature to remain afflicted by imagination. We keep the radio on in the house. We surround ourselves.
You know, interest levels change. I mean,
of course they do.
Things just start. It's just like insane. Yeah. All of a sudden you see like little missing gaps and things. And it's like, did I like this before? You know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see you playing Rocket Ship with your bread.
Well, not in public.
That's only for like some bath things. Time.
Some things I'm allowed to do in the privacy of my home.
That's right. Yeah, that was a big one.
Thank you.
That's the land in the figgy pudding first.
You're scaring the boy, Jeff.
He can take it. This is effusive. I mean, you know, beyond measure, beyond words, beyond imagination. Your present experience is incredibly effusive.
What does effusive mean? In front of everyone? Is it surrounding? Always spewing?
Flowing.
Okay.
So where our attention, not that attention is even static, because it's not. Attention is like mind. Attention is just a word we use to say what exactly? I don't know. Mind is a word we use to say what exactly? I don't know. But we have a sense, right, of consciousness, awareness, attention, mind, brain, preference, emotion. We think we know what these, you know, words, barking noises, clicking sounds refer to. This is very effusive. Up, up, down, in, out, above, below, beyond, and close. And what we call human, common human primate attention is absolutely consumed with a very, very narrow bandwidth of absolute heresy, and in which we suffer. Yeah, the thirst for identity will never go away.
I don't want to give up that goal. I don't want to set that down.
At least that's honest.
To admit that I'm just like this big.
Well, but saying you're this big is what? That's just an idea. You can't really contrast what you might actually be with what you think you are. Because what you might actually be is beyond measure or association. What you think you are can be punctuated by measure and association. But if you're enjoying being whatever it is you think you are, as contrasted with what you imagine you might otherwise be, stay where you are.
There's this sense of, yeah, but I'm not enough. I'm not enough to really get this thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that, right.
I better keep investing in it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Right. Which is a clever way that this, whatever it is or isn't, creates another particularization that now it is loyal to, so it has to occupy itself a certain way. You're the one that's manufacturing, impersonally of course, whatever loyalties are appearing in your experience. Or this is manufacturing whatever loyalties appear in it. You come along for the ride and say, well, I can't stop seeking. And yet, I really don't want the seeking to work. I mean, you've painted yourself in quite a small roller rink there, haven't you? I can't stop seeking, but I don't really ever want it to work. Ye gads. Really, in that case, climb the roof and jump. And don't take that literally. This is for professionals only. Don't try this, kids. Don't try this at home. So whatever you imagine is the boundary field or the explanation for your present experience is going to be incorrect. It's going to be particular. It's going to be small. It's going to be referential. It's going to be locked in, locked down. You're hanging out in the penitentiary with all the doors wide open, and you've never been sentenced in the first place. But you'll stay there.
Just keep building new cells.
Yeah. We are very, very happy to stay in a jail cell with all the doors open and windows, no wardens in the building, and you were never sentenced in the first place, but you will still remain in the cell.
It's comforting.
Call it what you will.
I don't know if it's comforting. It is comforting.
You know what to expect.
Adderalls and stuff.
We're peering into the face of total irrationality. You have to find out. You're invited, not by me, but by yourself. You're invited to find out whether you can take it or not. Or whether you want to throw up your hands and say enough is enough because he pissed me off or this happened or I'm too small or I'm not really interested anymore.
I have a choice about that. I've thrown my hands up plenty of time and said, I'm done, please leave me alone, stop it, I'm interested. I'll just go back to like normal, get a job, it'll all be good. And it's like,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, why don't you send me your commitments in writing?
Yeah. It knows better than me anyway. It's like, yeah, you'll get all that stuff and you'll be like, this blows. I was just kidding.
So anything that may be framed as a story about yourself, a good one, a bad one, an indifferent one, a working one, a not working one, whatever can be framed as a story about yourself is, as we can, let's say, circle back to the early part of the conversation, appearing as imaginary abstraction. Therefore,
do you guys want a box of bread?
No.
Well, maybe for the birds. Yeah, I'll take a box.
Okay.
Birds in the winter.
Therefore, if there's a therefore, and this is not a tautology, because nothing ever happened, including what's happening now. Nothing ever happened, including what's happening now. So to attempt to frame this as a tautology is insane, but we're using language, right? We're using evocative poems, if you will, to play around with consciousness, because it sure as fuck is playing around with us.
Because happened as a past tense, which never can possibly exist.
But anything that's appearing in your experience as a frame of reference, as a belief system, as a tautology, as a causality, as a preemptive, right, predisposition, is what? Abstraction in your experience. It's bullshit. It's unreal. It's imaginary. It doesn't mean you can't carve out a pleasing or unpleasing life with that as your constant companion. So the discovery here, if there's one to be made, is, are you that which is appearing? Are you that which appearing is appearing to? Or not at all? Thank you.
And
with
that,
which is
not at all.
Good.
Go ahead and take that plate
for it. And it seems to me, from what you're saying, that this is what will show her best.
Here's your laboratory. Nothing is withheld. There is no enlightenment elsewhere in your future. You will not be enlightened in your future. And we it sure as hell can't do much to correct your past. I mean, if you are a sufferer of post-traumatic stress disorder through events that can really wallop you, then do EMDR, take mushrooms, get therapy, go to ashrams, meditate, do everything that, you know, you possibly can do based on your time and money and inclination to relieve yourself of these profound imprints of debilitating stress. Do it today. But that has nothing to do with what you might actually be.
The inference is what you see so often. You know, the inference to this openness. But it's used as sort of a catapult in some of these marketing.
There's no question it is. Yeah. That's right. I have to commoditize openness so that you'll open your wallet.
Yeah.
Right.
Not to go down that, but yeah.
Yeah, really. We've been there before. We'll be there again. Yeah. How much confidence can you place in your present experience as being what you think it is? That's the truth. You cannot place any confidence at all in what you think your present experience is. Even how you're experiencing it.
Because it's a mind creation. Anything that's a mind creation,
it's fetishized. It's anthropomorphized.
You could say that arising can be beautiful as it is. And when it's gone, whatever is there, as beautiful as it is.
Yes, and when you may
when
see
gone,
when you may see that as oh, yeah. Then it's always beautiful as it is. This can't ever be anything but beautiful as it is. If you turn out to be an enjoyer of the vacuity, which this really is, not what you imagine yourself or it to be, then it's like, oh, whoa, I am good. Boy, I really nailed it today. Now, I don't know if you can have that same experience if your hands are chained to the wall and you're three levels down and the rats are gnawing at your ankles. You know, the Count of Monte Cristo. So it was a rough, sentence there.
It's more of a challenge.
I think you just gave a metaphor of corporate America.
The first rule of seeking: there is no seeking.
Every sea king is a land king, right?
Sorry. Is a what?
A land king. Sea king. Not to rule out queens either.
This guy's not stopped.
I know.
You look like Chewbacca.
I feel like Chewbacca.
S-E-A king. S-E-A king.
This is getting absurder and absurder.
Really? Land.
This is like
chewing on cocoa leaves for me. I chew on metaphors. I chew on words. All right, I'll put the leaves on.
You feel this. That's how you know what's so. You feel it. That's how you create a universe in which you find yourself as a creature. Feeling is first. Then abstraction flows in after the feeling. Abstraction constructs the boundary fields of time and space and corporeal identity. And then all of a sudden, you're there as a creature. And this doesn't happen in time. This is instantaneous. And you can't interfere with it by poking a pencil somewhere in the process, because it's not a process. If it were a process, you think you could, you know, hit the kill switch, go pull out a few pulleys, change some belts, and have it run to your satisfaction. But what we're referring to as identification or particularization or the confounding nature of consciousness is not a process. It's an instantaneity. So you cannot with it.
So then you can't really separate the feeling then from what comes with the feeling.
No. Right.
It's too fast. Yeah. You don't even have a shot.
Well, we use the word fast to suggest it's the same.
Right.
It's so fast, it's the same.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to unravel presence from its own predilection for confusion? You're not. You're not.
It's going to rain anyway. Right?
You're not going to unravel it. You see? You're not going to be a survivor who hits the kill switch, goes in there with a pencil or a wrench, moves things around, turns it back on and says, I'm free. Because this is an instantaneity. It's not occurring procedurally.
Well, that's why it's all feeling and not mind. It could never be mind.
Well, mind is just an abstraction that refers to feeling. There is no mind. There's only feeling.
So does this dialogue point to primal or something?
Point to?
Primal.
If that word pleases you.
Primary.
Yeah, if that word pleases you, I use it. I like to use primacy from time to time. Yeah. Now, isn't this weird, though? Because if this is this is this is this is this is this, and you cannot hit the kill switch, you cannot interfere with it because it's not a process. Now what are you going to do?
Belly up.
Belly up.
Just belly up. That seems to be the conclusion that keeps happening over and over again. It's working.
That's what
it's,
cats do.
You know, I was going to say, that's what Fred does. He's like, just rub my belly.
Belly
shut
up.
Shut up and rub my belly.
There's nothing else to do.
There's a thousand things to do.
Well, I've done a thousand things, and what seems to be left is belly up.
Fair enough.
Okay.
But it's funny even that as lovely as the metaphor for call it surrender or belly up is, it's also nothing.
But that seems to be where that word this is moving to. Less compulsive, oh my God, I'm going to do something about this.
Right, and I appreciate that, and of course I'm glad that that's noticed by you, but that's also behavioral and apparitional.
But it's not doing it, I can't say I'm doing
no.
It. Sort of just noticing.
Well, what exactly are you commenting on? Something that happened? Or just you're just dreaming right here? Yeah, you're just dreaming right here, and so you're commenting on it as if you can compare yourself presently or 10 minutes ago to 10 weeks ago, and then have something to say about it. And of course you can, and it's lovely to hear, but, you know, you see? Because this is not a process. This is not actually occurring in time. You're only whatever this is. Even if we say awake, that's a crappy metaphor. Awake to what?
The trip.
Were you something prior to this moment that was not awake? And now, through hook, crook, or belly up, you find yourself awake? No, not the case. Underneath all sensation or words spoken or felt or imagined, is what? Is the truth of presence. Is the feeling of this. Our game plan, surreptitiously or aggressively, is to get acquainted with feeling this.
And I guess it's the unadorned aspect.
It is absolutely unadorned.
And that's the trick. Just to feel it unadorned.
Isn't it? Can you notice, call it some texture, in your presence, your irrefutable presence that is absolutely unadorned? That's pretty magical. Because most of us feel overwhelmed by mental, psychiatric, and emotional clutter 24/7. Right? We're exhausted.
Behavioral analysis, and that's really hard. Like, it's an interesting, it just keeps coming up. Behavioral analysis. It's like,
what do you mean?
When you, like, just in our conversation right now, over and over and over again.
That's how we tend to reflect inwardly and with others, is through the filtration of some kind of behavioral analysis, experiential analysis, temporal analysis, which is manufactured. It's an overlay.
Sacrificed on the altar of this behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were born, everyone had an interest in our behavior.
Right.
Yeah. Our parents, our educational privileges, all about your behavior.
That's right. The child is fetishized by the parents to behave.
So it's all the parents' fault.
To entertain. It's not really, because the parents are a symptom of the same, right? Yeah. We're all, I mean, all human effusive expression is self-perpetuating and occurring of its own nature. Yeah.
It's not anymore personal.
Nah. No. They got a lot of joy from seeing you giggle or use words or pull toilet paper all the way up the stairs from the downstairs bathroom or whatever it is you got away with.
And you would have the same, I mean, theoretically, you would have the same experience in the wilderness or something, only it would look a lot different. Behaviorally, you would adapt to whatever's going on, you know?
Yeah, you'd be wearing a turtle on your head and everyone would crack up.
You do now. You adapt to whatever you're living, however you're living, whatever it is you're doing.
Imprinting, attention-seeking, and attention-giving, functioning as a thriving bacterial fermentation is what we do.
Is what we got here.
We're thriving as a bacterial fermentation.
Yes, you do.
Put one reminder on your refrigerator to replace all the others. One ring to rule them all, right? Thrive. Thrive. I mean, look at all of the sensorium that you are imbued with. Hunger and thirst and your reflection in a mirror, the procreative instincts, caring for the young, building warm structures. We're thriving. We're built to thrive. We're engineered to replicate and thrive and do with the environment whatever we can, as best we can, with the thumb and the neocortex that we've got, to create superstructures so that we can build, right, elaborate honeycombs for this bacteriological scale.
beavers are the only ones that do anywhere near as much as we do.
That's
they're,
right.
They're the closest companion.
That's right, because they dam water.
Yep.
Yep.
The beavers, they're like, they're they do amazing modifications.
Yep.
Yeah, we destroyed more.
It says it on the bottom.
You know, viruses kill their hosts, right? And once they kill their host, then the virus, if it's lucky, finds another or ceases to thrive. The human being is just a bacteriological scale, viral scale, that is doing what more minute viruses do. We're killing the host.
Think. We don't even, I mean, that's a theory.
Yeah. Well, sure.
We have no idea.
Yeah. That's right. Looking at it through the lens of a biosphere.
It appears that way.
That used to really upset me.
Because all I can know is what's in my theory.
And this even narrows that out. It's like, oh, you really know what just this, not my experience as an
A fellow I know, Peter Brown is his name, will sometimes emphasize a remark upon the clicking, sparkling nature of each, call it, psycho packet.
Psycho packet.
Yeah. So your experience is not actually continuous. It's just...
It's digital.
You can feel it that way. You can notice that your experience is not really smooth.
It's like taking little snapshots.
It's just snapshots, 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 snapshots,
like
snapshots,
snapshots. It's made of frames that are just all blended together.
Yeah. The feeling of this, but that's the content, right? I mean, that's measuring the content that appears in experience. You can see it as snapshots, 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 snapshots. Right? So it has a sparkling nature. It's effusive. It's radiant. And it clicks. But that's part of the recording. That's associated with the recording mechanism of experiencing. But if you go to the feeling nature, the unadorned part of yourself, there's no clicking.
Seamless. Yeah, it's continuous.
Seamless. Well, it's without time.
Yeah, right. So there's no...
And so it's, so you can't really, you can't really say, well, is it clicking? Is it seamless? Is it flowing? Is it staccato? You do it. Yeah.
You seem to be pointing to two different...
Yes. And you can. I mean, don't you all throughout the day have... How many perspectives are available to you right now? How many? I mean, it's countless. Really, it's truly countless. It's not just limited to the five senses, including the movement of mind or thought or association. This is multivalent, presently. And you can find yourself dropping in or out of a remarkable bandwidth of subtle sensorium, subtle recognition. Thanks so much.
I like that concept of to make a video, videos say a couple of frames and the frames just come together really fast.
Persistence of vision.
I've heard this or not, but that makes sense to me. And I've heard this described in the spiritual world as like it's like a book and something with the pages. With all these pages, they all exist at the same time, but makes it look like things are changing.
And then your memory comes along and rips out certain pages.
Yeah.
Adds
and
in some.
Why does it rip out certain pages and leave
gaps? Yeah, it doesn't like those. Like, that'll be bad. I'll throw that in the trash.
And the way that... The way that one's memory works, even though you can say it's selective because it has to be partial by nature, is not volitional.
No.
You don't select what snippets you seem to emphasize or recall to piece the imagination of your life together. You don't. It's... And yet we appear to be convinced my life, my wardrobe, my beliefs, what's important to me, whether I'm an adept or not, whether I'm eligible for realization or not. That we have tremendous confidence in. How did you get that confidence? From what? From a bunch of page tears over which you had no volitional input. I am loud. They'll deal with it or not. Isn't it strange what your confidence about your life is built on? Random page tears that had nothing to do with you.
The randomness is fascinating. And it seems to be correlated to the photos that I've held on to. Like, my memories are almost all tagged to just this, and I'm not a very super rich stuff. Most of my memories in the past are anchored in something that seems to exist now. And the rest are kind of gone.
Yeah, or things that have randomly
been turned out. Oh, yeah, the family lore. And that's how families keep the whole family lore.
Otherwise, you'd be like, what?
That's why the Hatfields and the McCoys shot each other up for generations.
I see my siblings attempts at keeping alive the issue between they have to keep it alive or they couldn't hold on to it. You've got to keep problems alive so you can continue to go to meetings and therapies and hold together this whole life designed
around fixing those problems. You've got to have them or you don't have a reason to do it. You don't have a reason to 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 have a reason. Same metaphor.
Because there's something we wanted in some ways. It's like we want attention, we want to be important, we still want to like be a person, like some importance.
Yeah, thriving, yes.
Yeah. This does. This just why that's like what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Thrives.
It's like the little bacteria that wants to grow in the most inhospitable, worst fucking environment ever. It's
and
like,
will.
Hey, I think I'll just, sulfur, heat.
This looks good.
No light. Yeah.
You can make a cocktail out of anything.
You know, I just had a very weird sensation. I was like sitting there, you know, just kind of, whatever, vegging. I don't know what I was doing, spinning thoughts, whatever. And I just looked up and I like looked out into this space out here with like ferns and like chairs and stuff. And all of a sudden it looked totally different than when I had put my head first down. Because I was processing some of what you were saying or whatever, and it was like, wow, that looked beautiful. I mean, when I put my, it looked kind of tropical to me before, now it looks kind of clean. So I don't know, that was sort of like,
That's how rubber this is. When you consider yourself and your own feelings and emotions, you can be tropical, you can be arid, you could be deciduous, you could be tundra.
It's like climate control.
Yeah. See, we become accustomed to a certain familiarity of presuming the so-called outside world is the way that it is. We don't know exactly what anything is or how it is, but we rely on presumption to place ourselves in space-time. When you get a glimpse of the collapse of the continuity of that presumption, you get a little moral reflex.
Yeah, or you think it's like special, like you're super cool and you just tapped into something really neat and you're like, that's what's going on all the time.
Well, the whole emphasis that some people place on noticing or wondering or traveling lighter and stuff like that is referring to just how wondrous your present observational field can be or is. You don't have to spend a lifetime in it, but if you get startled enough, right? I mean, Don Juan gave Carlos a bunch of peyote, not because peyote was the destination, but because peyote startled him out of his dream. So then he was, right, available to discover what reality might be.
It was the only thing that was so incongruous. He was so,
right.
You know.
Yes.
Taking notes, doing his PhD. That was the only fucking thing that would get him like outside. Of
yeah,
the,
I mean,
otherwise he was like, no, no, no.
Right, in the body
he
of
just,
that.
He just flew under the roof, probably from like he would rationalize it.
In the body of that work, not that it, whether it was fictional or otherwise, you know, or stitched together from who knows what, whoever Don Juan was or wasn't, was said, like, I don't give peyote to everybody, but you're such a dumb fuck that I had no choice.
So everything he did, he'd be like,
right?
He could rationalize it.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's like, well, yeah, you know, it's probably, you're like, how could you rationalize that?
Yeah, peyote was not the destination. It just happened to be a medicine that Carlos needed to unsettle his tonality or nahuality so that he could actually start the process of paying attention to the shamanic endeavor that he was actually engaged in.
And that's what we do.
That's right. Yes, it is.
We rationalize the amazing nature of where we are.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Same way,
right.
It's like we're yeah. like mini educational systems or something, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, well, yeah, this is matter, and it's because this, and these are made of little atoms, and
yeah.
little life.
Right, yeah.
I popped out of this person's vagina, and I just, you know.
That's right. It's a nice way to portray yourself, yeah. And Stephen Hawking knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I was pulled out screaming.
Oh, you can pop out. I did like an alien act here. Little pop out.
Take me to your leader.